This call is being recorded.
I'm going to record this call for our Japanese and Taiwanese friends. So we've got Sandro has just joined, and we've got two more people, one number in San Jose and one Jala.
Let's do this.
Oh, hi guys, welcome on board.
Hello, good morning.
And I guess the next number might be Nathan, is that right?
Hello, Nathan's here.
Fantastic. So just to do our roll call quickly, we've got Alexius, Jeff, Andrew, Indira, Sandro, Jake and Jeff, and Nathan. So we've got quite a bit to do today, so let's hop right into it. Oh, I see David Rudin is just joining as well. Nathan, we've got a bunch of onboarding stuff. Would you like to take lead with that to start?
Sure, you bet. That sounds good.
All right. I'll pass over to you for onboarding work team.
Okay. Well, one of the great bits of feedback we had from the Vancouver conference was that there are now kind of a range of questions that people have developed that they're commonly facing when they're promoting OpenChain. We're talking about OpenChain with, you know, internally within, you know, stakeholders within their own company or with business partners as well. So what we've done is we try to organize these questions along what we're calling the path to conformance. It's our realization that OpenChain conformance isn't just a single step, but it's a step of, a series of growth phases where we go through education about, you know, what are open source risks, and then learning about how to implement processes to address those risks, all the way going to understanding, you know, what are the benefits of open chain and actually going through the conformance process at the end. So what we want to do is we want to streamline this path to conformance as best we can, make sure that the information to bring people along each step is readily available. Easy to digest, easy to communicate with other people who may not be familiar with OpenChain or even the open source ecosystem. So, you know, what we've placed in here, what I placed in the next number of slides are a series of questions, basically the main questions that came out of, you know, feedback from community members in the Vancouver conference. Many of these questions, generally speaking, need answers from our community. And so we want to go back to the work teams, to the existing material that we've created, you know, is the first basis for creating answers to this. We want to make sure that the answer we give is something that we're all agreed upon. And then, you know, once we have the basic answer, you know, the onboarding team can then pull it together in kind of a easily digestible kind of marketing form. So one thing we recognize, though, is for each of these questions, and as you'll see, you know, the answers will be different for some of them, or I should say the form of the answers will be different. Like some of them, the best answer may be pointing to a chapter in the curriculum. For others, the best answer may be, you know, pointing to an FAQ, an existing FAQ from, say, the specification team. What we're looking to hopefully come out of this will be potentially additional FAQ items for each of the other work teams, and then new onboarding material to help ease the transition between each of the steps in the path to conformance. So Shane, if we can move on to the next slide, if there's no questions, you know, I guess I should pause here and ask if there's any thoughts or questions, and then I can start diving into what each particular question we got out of the conference would be.
No questions on my end yet.
Okay.
Thanks, Nate. I moved on to the next slide, Nathan. Hope it is visible.
Yep, I see that there. So the first step that we found in the path to conformance, of course, is awareness of open source. What is open source? What are the risks and obligations? How does it impact me? Most of the questions there, I organized into two basic headings here. And my thinking is, and I'm glad we have Alexios here, is I think most of these questions can best be sourced from material in the curriculum. And so it may be, you know, pulling a chapter together, it may be creating some material, new material that specifically answers some of these questions. But what I'd like to open up to is maybe Alexios, if you have any thoughts about this, how to partner with the curriculum team, and if anyone has any new questions for this step as well.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I was mute. Yeah, it's correct that our current curriculum material does not include information on the why, right? Why we're doing this, or why would anyone do that? Right? Until now we had assumed that it was a given. We can definitely. I'm trying to think now whether this should be part of the curriculum itself, or do we want to have a complete different approach, a complete different resources for why you should be doing the open source the correct way. I cannot. There are pros and cons in both cases. It's not,
sure, and you know, Alexios, I think there's probably room for both. I think on the onboarding side, you know, there's certainly room to create new content. And so if we're creating anything that's about, you know, why to comply, maybe something original that doesn't necessarily fit really squarely into the curriculum, you know, that's probably a good place to put it. But I think for some of these questions, these are things where, like, the curriculum could answer very well. Like, you know, how do we explain to someone? Are there a set of slides or is there a chapter to help people understand, you know, what is open source and what are the risks and obligations about it? How does this work inside a supply chain? You know, are there, you know, how does this interact with export and security? You know, things like that, that I think are basic questions that we probably would want something, I would think, in the curriculum, you know, to discuss at length.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, I was looking at the broader picture. Some of these questions definitely should be inside the curriculum, right? The why we're doing compliance is a little... you know, the big picture of why. Because we had assumed that everyone who is already interested in open chain and is looking at that, they remember the first step of the curriculum, the first goal of the curriculum is to have something so that you could fulfill the specification requirement that you're training your people. So, yeah, that was, we were thinking that if people are looking how to comply with the specification, they're past the why. We can definitely. So, yeah, things like the specific questions about the export and stuff like that, we can definitely add them to the curriculum. Right?
Okay. You know, perhaps as a first step for today, what we could do is just begin by identifying the questions where, you know, onboarding should be partnering with curriculum on. And so I think if we begin, I'll create a separate slide deck that I'll post to the onboarding site, and I'll identify these questions as one that we'll work with the curriculum team on. And then we can begin from there and maybe prioritize what are the, you know, the most common questions from there and just begin work on it. at that
right.
point.
So we could actually have, you know, an FAQ style format for all these questions and not answers. And then we can see whether the same answer, we can put it inside the equilibrium. Also, we can put some version of it inside the onboarding material or, you know, on a standalone and FAQ on the site.
Hi, it's Sammy. I was just going to say, actually, some of the things are already sort of partially answered in the FAQ. But I can see, you know, in a way, I do like the FAQ style, because if somebody is looking at a specific question, it might make more sense to have this. And again, there's no harm in repeating it. Obviously, it might create a maintenance issue, because every time you tweak or update material, you have to make sure that you update it in both places. But there are some that are already, in terms of the benefit in the supply chain and so on, these are already in the FAQs.
Sure, and that's a good point, Sammy, about, you know, maintaining maybe two sets of content. And so I guess it's probably important in doing this project to separate out what material belongs to the work team and what belongs on the onboarding side. And I'm sorry, someone else is trying to jump in.
Yeah, it's Indra here. So I absolutely agree that it needs to be in both places, but also, you know, I think the why is a very important component of the open chain project, and that should be forefront somewhere, right? Either in the opening page, or then it points to the FAQ or something like that. Maybe a separate blurb that goes over the why. Not all the questions, but I think a few of them might be important to kind of just re-clarify for people who are new to it.
Yeah, that's good feedback. I think would it make sense then if maybe the definitive answer to these questions were in the work team FAQ? And then if we're going to create, you know, onboarding material from that point, you know, it's more, you know, it's easily digestible, we can take it from those answers.
Right.
Okay. Well, Alexios, I'll continue to work with your team on these questions. I'll identify them as ones where we need to target the answers from the curriculum side.
Sure.
And then, of course, please let me know if there's any new questions or if there's any questions that you particularly want answered or anyone in the community particularly wants answered. We can start to prioritize based on that. So I think, Shane, we can go to the next slide if there's no other comment on this first one.
Okay, next slide is up.
Okay, and I think this one is going to be more, in my mind, a lot of these were more directed toward the specification team. In particular, yeah, what is OpenChain? What are the benefits of it? And I think some of that, you know, we can, you know, I think we do have resources on already. A lot of these questions, we do have resources that we've either answered already or we've indirectly answered. The one kind of idea I got out of the conference that I've heard from a couple people are, you know, can we have like this TLDR version of the spec? You know, if you go to, say, for instance, the Creative Commons, you know, deed that they have, you know, it's kind of a high-level overview of a license before you dig into the legal code. You know, is there kind of a summary that we could create? You know, so people who are just learning about the project, you know, instead of going straight to the specification, they can go, you know, to this, you know, TLDR version, right? They can see maybe a list of bullet points of, hey, these are the high-level things that are required in order to become conformant. You know, we might say things like, hey, you need to be able to create a bill of materials or something like that. You know, you have to have an ombudsperson. You know, a short list of you know, the high-level points.
Hi, Andrew here. I've already done some work on that we're using internally, so I'd be happy to share that.
Oh, Andrew, great. Thank you. So Andrew, you've contributed a lot to the onboarding site already, so I appreciate that as well.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So I don't know if we have Mark on here, but
I'm here.
Oh yeah. So do you have any thoughts about, you know, does the same approach that I talked about with Lexius sound good to you? You know, I'll at least identify questions that it seems like, you know, we should get the definitive answer from your team, and then we can kind of begin, you know, sorting through the questions, seeing what's appropriate for adding to the FAQs or just what are the already
answers. My assumption is, and it could be incorrect, is that we have an FAQ for the spec, and I think we have actively maintained it, and my assumption is that any question that you think is relevant is on that list. Now, there might be a question not on that list, and we should have it on the list. So I think I'm talking about the spec FAQ. Would that address your concerns or needs?
Yeah, I'll spend a little time. I'll go through the questions that we identify for that are most appropriate for the spec team, and then we'll see, you know, how we can line up with the answers that are already there. How do you feel about? Yeah.
How do I feel about what? I'm sorry.
The TLDR version of the spec, is that something we can? Does that seem like a good idea to you? Does that seem like something they have to move too much, or is that feasible?
I'll give it some consideration. I'm not familiar with actually what exactly is a TLDR. Can you give it a 1 or 2 sentence description of what it is?
Yeah, you know, now let me try to post a link here. And Shane, I don't know if you want to bring this up.
Hey, bear with me. I'm going to bring that up right now. So it's going to appear in about 5 or 10 seconds.
So the link Shane is clicking on is for the Creative Commons licenses. You know, they have the license tax, the legal code is what they call it. And then, but for each one as well, they have kind of an overview so you know what the license is about, you know, the high level points of it.
It's sharing now.
Okay.
I think I understand now. You're talking about that quick English summary of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so.
Sure. I mean, I actually have done this in two slides. I mean, I've given the spec in two slides. Well, you probably do down to one. But I mean, I put up, there's 6 pillars to compliance. I mean, I guess this one is about covering every aspect of the spec in except more simple English. I have to think about that, what that means.
Yeah,
I will say one thing. There always can be better materials to present, you know, like a slide deck or what is the spec, right? Now, I'm reluctant to do this for two reasons. One, because the spec is supposed to be the spec, in that is the definitive wording. And my second concern about that is the spec is really generally pretty short. One of the things I think is an attribute is it's like 9-10 pages and there's a lot of white space. And I guess I would like to think that if there's a way of making the spec even tighter and more concise and more immediate, I prefer to do that. And it doesn't preclude us from having slide decks that explain what the spec is. But this, I think, is what this is trying to do is it's trying to provide a complete and concise definition in simple English. And I'm not sure about that yet. So I'm open to other people's thoughts here. I mean,
I
do
think
people see that? Go ahead.
So Mark, I think the TLDR version should be, you know, the highest level that you can do. So for example, it will say you have to train your people and not go into any details about what will be the train or 85% or anything else like that, right? So it has to be the very high level of, you know, the requirements, because the idea is that when somebody asks, okay, what is this open chain all about? You can present, you know, 6 bullets because there are the 6 things that they have to think about, and that's all. And for any further information, we should go to the spec, because as you said, the spec is pretty short. So I don't think it makes any sense to have it, you know, a simpler English version of the complete spec. What we need is a summarized, the summary of a spec in a single page or something like that.
Okay.
I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, please go.
Well, I think there's a big difference between the Creative Commons licenses and the spec. The spec essentially already is what we have here. I mean, we have the entire license text of the Creative Commons. If you print it, that's probably about as long as, you know, the spec, if it was just, you know, written up for each of the subsections. So what we already did is we essentially just created this and the topics, you know, you need to provide this and these and these and these other artifacts and stuff. That's already the summary. I really don't see how we can summarize it even more without losing value. Maybe, you know, if we just have the topics for each of the parts, but then really you'd lose quite a lot as well. So I don't really see that we can create something similar to this. Maybe there's still value to shortening it, but I would say it's already really short. So I don't know. I mean, I understand that people might not want to read the entire thing, but then again, if you want to dig into this, it's a big topic, and it's, you know, you need to read something.
By the way,
go ahead. I was going to say, just the feedback I gotten was not so much that we're not going to create a new version of the spec or anything like that. This is more of the, what's the elevator pitch of the spec? What is, you know, what are the top, like, maybe 6-8 points of the spec, you know, that are most prominent? And then once you've learned about that, because maybe you've just gotten through step one, you've understood, okay, I know what FOSS risks and obligations are, but what's OpenChain? Okay, you know, it's, what's the 6-8 points about it? Now I'm interested. Now I'm going to go pick up a copy of the spec and read it in full. So maybe, you know, it's maybe I use the improper word of creating a different version of the spec, but I think it's more of a, maybe we can call it the elevator pitch for the spec.
But wouldn't that be the onboarding slide? That was my understanding of that.
No, you're right. It would be an onboarding slide, but it would be something that I think the content of it needs to, you know, the authoritative answer for the content of it needs to come from the spec team. And so I want to, you know, just as with the curriculum questions, we want to work with Mark and his team in creating that.
I'm not quite sure it needs to come from the spec. I think I would see it as it needs to come from, you know, what is the remit of the project itself and what does the project try to achieve, rather than going into the level of detail on how the specs dictate this is done. Because again, you know, in a nutshell, you want to be able to tell people, well, actually, OpenChain is about building trust across the supply chain, improving efficiency, because if you can trust the information, it means that you don't have to go through the same process of reviewing, et cetera, the compliance information, and that you have confidence when you pass on that information is reliable. So in a way, I see it as the essence of the project rather than the details on the specification. The specification is, and this is how it's done, and you know, these are the guiding pillars of what you would need to do to build that trust.
Yeah. So I actually posted a URL into the chat. If Shane could pull it up, it's something that I actually give out to our customers. It's a one slide that actually.
I'm pulling it up right now.
You know, this is something I've been toying with. It's not a final version, but we get this is how I describe OpenChain to our customers in one slide. And this is largely about the spec, right? And I think this is kind of touching on what you're looking for, but I wouldn't describe this as the shorter version of the spec. And I think that I also have a, I was asked by our marketing team to put together a blog about the Open Chain Promise, which I'm going to probably publish in October. And that I still haven't completed yet.
Yeah. I think this is exactly what we're looking for. And then, yeah, like I said, it's not, you know, we're not looking for a different version of the spec, just looking for kind of the, this kind of level of pitch. And I think, you know, this material, what Andrew's going to send, and if anyone else has anything in this kind of, you know, this kind of realm, this would be great. So I think, you know, this is exactly where we need to meet this, you know, leap that our promoters are trying to make. You know, they're telling people, hey, these are what open source risks are. You know, we're able to tell people, hey, these are the benefits of open chain. But then, you know, the step beyond that is now we need to say, okay, here's what open chain is. Here's the spec. Here's what the spec is. And so there's a big leap from, you know, knowing the benefits to then going reading through the spec, you know. And I think the transition step that we need to fill in there is, you know, give people an idea of what it is, you know, in a quick way first. And so, and that's the feedback we've been getting from the promoters. And I think this kind of slide you have right here, Mark, is perfect for this.
Now, obviously, one or more, this is tailored towards our company, clearly.
Sure.
But I think we can come up with something slightly more generalized.
And if we can, and feedback from Andrew and feedback from anyone else, I think would help us reach that goal. So. Okay, and then we had a couple other questions come in through Vancouver. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's helpful to kind of go through them in detail here, but maybe these will just be questions I can just, we can tee up, you know, for, to discuss with the work team, and then we can maybe bring them up in, you know, individually as the priority seems appropriate. So, if there's no other questions on that slide, can we go to the next one?
Yep, next slide should be up.
Okay. All right, support for implementing processes. This is a support of, we need to support our promoters in helping people understand how to comply. Now, they understand already in the first step what open source is, and then they understand what open chain is and what our solution is. But how do they get to the point of understanding what it is to the point where they can say, you know, we have that in place? I guess pulling out the high points of what we heard in Vancouver, one of the big points was, you know, how do all the partner projects, you know, fit into to these processes? How does Open Chain fit into, you know, with SPDX and tooling and other things like that? And I think we had some great slides come out of Vancouver. It was kind of like a stack where Open Chain was somewhere near the top, specifying how the overall system, you know, should be completed. But that's one of the answers they were looking for. The other one they were wondering, are there reference implementations or other things people have done that I can learn from and put into place more easily? Are there implementations of the various partner programs that I can look to? So if I know that I take, you know, SPDX plus two other things that generally I know what areas of the spec are being covered. So in this question, I think we have the least amount of resources for this area so far. So I don't know, do you feel like, is curriculum, is specification, you know, Miriam, I know in conformance, is there anything do you feel like we should look to you for, or do you feel this is a kind of a new area?
No, I think you're absolutely right. That's one of the areas where we need to keep exploring, and that's actually one of the topics I didn't get around to putting up a slide, but would have wanted to discuss during this call or during one of the next calls. That we need to, first of all, maybe set up a more supportive environment where someone who's maybe gone through the conformance questionnaire and found they are not entirely compliant, you know, where can they get help and who can they turn to? So that we, you know, first of all, allow them to kind of find their well, fault maybe, and then actually get help. And then we need to put up something like that, maybe answers to that in FAQs, maybe. I think Gary mentioned something like actually having a more interactive conformance web app. Maybe it could be in there even, you know, just take it from there. That would have been my approach. I'm happy to start working on just answering the questions, but I don't think we'll get very far because I really don't think we have that in place yet. And that's one of the areas where we need to start working.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, sorry, I just thought I'd lost you because I didn't hear anything.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, thank you for that. That's, yeah, I totally agree. And I think, like you're saying, there are a few bits that do fit, seem to fit pretty well. And I think I'd like to hear more about Gary's web app idea. I don't know, is Gary on?
Yep, I'm here, yes. So there's, I think I might have gotten this idea from somebody else on the team. I think Mark might have mentioned it, but basically implementing, you know, tool tips and some additional resources on each of the specific questions that might point to additional FAQs or different, you know, but I think the main idea was to take advantage of some of the tooltip help that might be available on some of the specific things. But we could also, you know, link in additional resources directly into the conformance application as another approach.
I think now that you mentioned it, Gary, that could have been the call that we recently had with the questionnaire that we might want to put up where people can actually go through without providing all their information and their company information, you know, in the beginning already. So that might have come up in that call even, which from my perspective is another aspect we need to tie in there. What offers can we make that companies or organizations can start an assessment of their status of compliance without feeling they are already giving this information to someone they don't really know, they feel uncertain about. So I think that's one of the parts that actually ties in here as well.
That's right. I think, Mariam, we did talk about this when we were saying, wouldn't it be great to be able to track, you know, from day one when you started thinking about what do we need to do and to see, you know, how the progress to sort of to be able to retain the ability to gradually reach the conformance, but without you know disclosing that to anyone until you're satisfied. Yes, I've accomplished all of those points. Because again, I think we said we took the approach. We took a copy of the questions and just kept a manual one, saying yeah, okay, that's done. That is not done, and we just to go through them manually to tick. Okay, now we have this in place. Now we're certain that this is visible. Now we have done the training, etc. So, but this is sort of very manual, effectively.
Yeah, I think for this question of assessing current compliance status, I think maybe I'll mark those as questions I can follow up with Mariam and your team. It sounds like there's some tools and options, maybe, and ideas that can be developed in that area. I think for the other part, and I wonder if this is curriculum or if it's something else entirely, one of the wish list items, though, I heard is reference implementations. Okay, the open chain spec is pretty flexible, right? And so are there maybe two or three models that can be described? You know, maybe one where there's heavy training and then there's an open source policy and, you know, some verification steps in place. Or there's another model where it's mostly centrally managed and there's a lot of automation in place. You know, are there models where someone who's starting from scratch can look at and put the basic frameworks into place, you know, hopefully plugging in some of our partner projects as well.
I think that's one question that we also discussed in the very beginning, or, you know, at least some time back, that newcomers, let's call them, actually asked, you know, how can we, or where can we look at something, or what would this look like if we did it, you know, perfectly? And I think the solution or the answer to that that we agreed on back then was that we would point them to participants or organizations that are already engaged in the Open Chain project, and, you know, just kind of partner them, not formally as in this is a partner program, but, you know, just refer them to someone who would be willing to participate for that. And I think this is, well, that's at least one of the solutions we could think about. The other is, of course, that we work on a reference implementation, or a couple of them, but I don't think that's really going to be possible, because in the end, it's always going to be a case-by-case decision for most companies.
So, and Andrew here. So one of the things that I'm working on at the moment, and I've discussed this briefly with Shane, and I'm going through it with some clients at the moment, is so I've taken the Open Chain specification and I've put it into a grid on Google Sheets, and then for each of the categories, I've put some sample wording of a policy, and I put some workflows in there as well. So the idea is I'm going to sort of socialize this fairly shortly after I've had a couple of clients have a look at it. But the idea is it's an alternative for using the Linux Foundation's open source policy, which frankly doesn't tie in particularly well with Open Chain. It's tied in much more closely to the curriculum, but and the specification. But it goes somewhat more deeply than a typical policy would be. So it actually has some details of some sample training in there that's based on the curriculum, for example. So this is really a sort of quick start for organizations that you know, are relatively simple. So it doesn't include much in the way of tooling at the moment. This is typically for those organizations that are still doing things on a relatively manual basis and will be referring most decisions as to component inclusion as to some guidelines which are basically signed off by, you know, one individual who's the open source lead. But the idea is that it will provide you know, a fully functioning one-stop location for, you know, almost a sort of turnkey implementation that people can use. So hopefully that would be a sort of useful step forward on this particular issue.
Yeah, Andrew, it sounds extremely useful. I think just remembering that newcomers come to this and they're like, no, they don't always know the pieces, like how does SPDX fit into this, or what manual processes, what details do I need to address? And so even if they have a high-level list of the details, like let's say I choose to do this manual process, then I can look through Andrew's list and see at the high level what are the check marks or check boxes I need to do. Or if I want to automate this, you know, what are the partner projects that are going to be helpful to me?
Exactly.
Yep. And then they'll know, oh, okay, so I need to stitch together these, you know, three or four projects here and build them into my processes. And those can be the basis for my automated compliance program. And so I think if we had maybe, you know, two or three scenarios, you know, that were typical. And again, I'm probably using the wrong terms. If I say reference implementation, that's obviously, you know, way too in-depth. But if we say maybe a model, you know, what's a two or three compliance models that we can propose, you know, I think that would go a long way toward bridging this gap.
Yeah. I really support that. I think one of the frustrations I've seen with companies who do a really good job with kind of open source monitoring and managing, and, you know, they get the same credit as somebody who says, oh, we trained our guys 10 years ago. And so having that phased approach, you know, I'm a level one, I'm a level two, I'm a level three, right? I have these core competencies and we do these core trainings, et cetera, et cetera. you know, we don't want to have 8,000 different checkboxes. You know, I'm a 32 and a half versus a 96, but you know, I'm a level one, level two, level three, or something along those lines, so people can self-grade and also understand where they are. You know, a large multinational is going to have a much different process, and even internally, you know, they might be level one here, but horrible over there. How do we gauge that both internally as well as externally, so that not everybody has a pass fail or the same credit for, you know, just following some parts of the skip back of the call.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think, thank you for mentioning small and large organizations. I think what we can, what I might suggest is asking, are there models that we can start to define, or at least provide examples for small, large organizations, and for automated and for more manual processes? And then perhaps, you know, we get enough feedback, we can start to fill in, you know, each of those kind of, you know, four points.
So Nathan, tied to this, I also did sort of talk to Shane in the past about trying to share sort of experiences of what, you know, what was the path, and I have to take my hand up. I'm slightly guilty that I haven't done my bit as to, you know, how within ARM, how what, you know, what was the journey like. I think it is important to share that perspective. Which would tie in quite well to this, because again, you know, I'm sure, if you look at the conformance list, different size organizations have done things differently to achieve the same end goal. So it'd be useful to share that perspective with two, three examples.
I think the intent has always been that, again, there's the open chain project. And there's an open chain spec. The spec has a very specific objective, right? A focus or goal. Where the project was this broader scope of providing potentially different people's summaries of their compliance programs, right? This is one practice, right? And maybe there's three different people who describe their practice. That was always, I think, part of the mission of the project itself. And I think that would go a long way. I think you just have to find people who are willing to describe their program as more of the how and when part of it.
On that note, we sort of have a prep for three case studies. So we've got Mark, yourself, Sammy, and also Endo-san from Toyota have all put up hands about making the journey to conformance. So one of my action items in the near term is to provide a question set, which will turn into the case study. So hopefully that's something that we'll be able to finalize this month.
So Shane, my understanding of that exercise is that you want us to explain how we actually went through the process of conformance.
Yes.
As opposed to going in and describing our approach to compliance.
Yes, is that correct? Narrower in scope, the approach to conformance. So if we're looking for a larger case study, we could certainly queue those up. It just depends on the time available to everyone to fill out the questions.
So, for example, I see that there's at least two, like, general outlines of compliance programs, and there are many variants on this, right? But there are people who take compliance on a very centralized approach, or they can be very decentralized. We at Wind River are more centralized. We have a team who are dedicated to reviewing all the components of every release, and they're gathering up the compliance artifacts, and they're making sure things are getting done. There are often, what is the case, is that companies will push out the compliance to the individual product teams, development teams, and make sure that they're following, and that I would call decentralized. And they're basically asking the developers to review the licenses and all that stuff. And then, of course, there's another approach where people talk about automating, which I don't want to touch But I think that's what we need. We need people to describe their compliance program and say, well, we follow the centralized approach or the decentralized approach, or maybe just a third approach. I think the more general case study that would probably be beneficial here.
This all makes sense. Now, I'm cognizant that we're in the last 15 minutes of the call time. Maybe we should wrap up onboarding relatively soon and move on to the curriculum.
Sure, of course, yeah, we'll save some time. The last couple slides largely dealt with some like operational questions, like kind of corner questions about what happens when mistakes happen. What if there's a merger? What do I do with open source enforcement? How and when can these things impact me if I'm conformant? You know, does that affect my conformance if any of those events happen? So my sense is I think some of these might be answered already with the conformance team FAQ, but I can I'll follow up with them as well on this. But I want to make sure there's room for a curriculum, and so unless there's any last questions, we can pick these up at another time. Well, Shane, I think we can turn it over.
All right. Thank you so much, Nathan. That was an excellent conversation. Moving on to conformance, to work team for spec. Mark, would you be able to go through either training or organization, perhaps training?
Well, I think a lot of people probably are familiar with this. I have a draft of the spec, which I've, technical advisory committee? Is that what, I forget what the name of that is.
Steering committee.
Thank you. The technical steering committee. Met and considered this new focus of how we're going to incorporate training into the spec. We're basing it on the ISO 9001 approach. And the idea is simply to address the concerns that we have around being too prescriptive with respect to how we handle training in the past. Although there are some people who are concerned about not being prescriptive enough around training. But what we want to do is give them a little bit more flexibility to companies to define how they want to describe their program and the different roles, and then put the burden on them a little bit more to say, they have to make sure that all those people, they have to define the roles and that they have to make sure that everybody's achieved a certain level of competence. Okay. And so we don't really talk about training anymore as much as we talk about there's a notion of you're achieving a certain competence in your program among your staff participants. And the second part of that was to also include what the 9001 does with respect to awareness, right? You want to make sure, in addition to having people properly trained, that they have a particular awareness around the policy and relevant the objectives that are relevant to their roles. So we're going to incorporate this into the spec in the training section, okay? But one thing I know that was concerned is that some people said that, they're still concerned because we took away very specific topics we wanted to make sure certain people were trained on. I do believe if you look at the spec, the next section talks about roles and responsibilities. I believe that's an opportunity to say, are there specific roles you expect? And that's up for debate. That every compliance program must have, right? And if people believe there's a certain roles, such as having a legal advisor, right? It's probably a role you'll expect someone to have. We might want to put some additional information around what we think competence is for that role. I'm not saying we will, but that concern hasn't been forgotten. It's just not going to be handled in the what was the training section. I'll pause for questions.
Shouldn't the awareness list also include the roles so that persons doing work are aware of the different roles in the company?
is that a requirement though? Should I have to know about everybody's role, or do I mean, is that important? Sometimes developers might have a certain role, but they don't need to know about the other people's roles.
Don't they have to know that there is a FOSS liaison?
That's a good question. I think when we get to that section, we should talk about that. Is there a requirement for that? What this is simply saying, in, you know, you basically define the roles. So you have to have them defined. Right. Yeah, I think you get it. Yeah. So let me be very clear about that. And I think Nathan was also particularly concerned about making sure that we visit the roles. And we will. We will in the very next discussion we're going to have is going to dive into the next section, which discusses the roles and how that section will evolve. You want to go to the next slide, Shane? Unless there's other questions.
We're on the next slide.
Yep. So the other thing that we want to do here is incorporate into the spec the ability for an organization to define the scope of their compliance program. And we looked again to the ISO 9001 spec, and there they are very similar in that they describe what they call a quality management system, and I put in parentheses, you know, program. And then what we have is an open source compliance program. Our program is a little bit more narrow than in terms of, you know, what we're trying to achieve, but both specs are dealing with, I would call it, program. Okay. So you're certifying or conforming your program to a spec, okay? Now, what they also do in 9001 is they actually allow you to define the scope of your program. So if a company wanted to say, this program covers the entire organization, they have to make that explicit statement as part of conforming with the spec. If they want to say, well, in our company, we just wanted to focus on a particular product line, they can define that more narrow scope if they choose. Again, in both cases, they have to explicitly state that as part of the conformance process. Okay? And this will give us the ability to accommodate both ends of that spectrum. Some people were concerned about making sure the entire organization was open chain conforming. And versus a particular product line. Now, Gary did highlight something in the past, which I think is important. At the end of the day, organizations deliver software, and that software will have some percentage of open source in it. And we want to be able to talk about how that particular delivery has been through an open chain conforming process or program. And that's something we have to make sure that I believe we have to be consistent with that. I think that's one of the ultimate goals, is to say, I got a piece of software from an organization. I want to know that particular piece of software went through a particular compliance program, regardless of whether it's the whole organization or it's a specific product line. Gary, did I get that right?
Yeah, I think you got that right. It's just being able to map the software back, I think, is something that a lot of companies are going to want to be able to do.
So basically, everybody's going to be handed a piece of software, and you're going to be handed a set of compliance artifacts, and you need to know that those compliance artifacts were prepared under an open chain conforming program. Okay, let me pause. Any other questions? Okay, I am going to actually give out the actual draft that incorporates these ideas into the spec by the end of today. I have a draft right now, and you will see how these things have been incorporated into the new current draft of the spec, which is going to then, I'm sure, solicit a whole set of other questions and concerns. That's all I have.
All right. Brilliant. Any other questions? Any other business? Okay. We've had a great conversation today. Thank you so much to Nathan and to Mark. It looks like everyone's on the same page and we're moving forward. My major takeaway from today is that as well as journey to open chain conformance, people also want to explore a journey to how companies do compliance in general. So let's dig into those. If there are no further items, we're finished for today. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good month.